أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد، صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات، وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات، وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات، وترفعنا بها عندك على درجات، وتبلغنا بأقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات، وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. ومفتح علينا حكمتك، وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والكرام. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الكرام. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. We were talking about having a far-sighted goal, trying to focus on the far-sighted goal without seeing what the micro goals that you have to do to reach that. And he said that anyone who من جعل نصب عينيه أقصى ما يريده قل أن يفعل ما يريده, that whoever does that rarely will reach the goal that he's trying to achieve. So he said, for example, وَشَكَّ بِلَعْ عَلَامَةِ وَسْوَسَةٍ فَالصَّلَاةِ الْعُمْرِ دُونَ مُسْتَنَدٍ ظَاهِرِ الْاَعْتِبَارِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ قَالَنَا بَعْضُ الشُّيُوخ وَنَصَّفِ الذَّخِيرَ عَلَى مِنْعَ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ. For instance, you'll hear stories about people who repeated all their prayers. Like, for instance, you'll hear a story that a man prayed 40 years in a masjid, and this actually is mentioned in one of the books. He prayed 40 years in a masjid, and he prayed every prayer, he was in the first line. And then one day, the first day in 40 years, he was late for that prayer, and he was ashamed to go in because of what the people would think. And then he realized that he had the riya about his prayer, so he repeated all 40 years of prayer. That's what he means there. And he's saying that that's called Salat al-Umar, where you do it. And he said it's not, there's no proof, there's no delil for that. There's no outward proof for that. And so he said some of our shiukh told us that it's mentioned in the khira of Imam al-Qarafi, one of the great Usuli scholars of the Malik Madhab, that that's actually not permissible to do. It's not permissible to do that. So then he says the third one, الحقوق المالية كالحقوق البدنية. He's talking obviously about rights that you've transgressed in, rights of Allah and then rights of the creation of Allah. And he was talking more about the الحقوق البدنية, like prayer and the ibadat, hajj. Now he said الحقوق المالية كالحقوق البدنية بل أعظم. The rights related to those things that deal with money are similar to the rights related to those things that are rights of your body. Indeed, they're even greater. فواجب الزكاة والكفارة لازم وتحري فيه أهم من التحري في البدنيات. That the obligation of zakat and also expiating that is not only an obligation, but to fervently seek that out is more important than being vigilant about those things that relate to your badaniyat. You have badaniyat and maliyat, those things that relate to your body, like prayer. And what he's saying, because zakat obviously doesn't just affect you, it affects other people. So not only have you deprived your own self, but you've also deprived other people. There's mazlumin. So that's why you should be more concerned about that, because if you don't pay your zakat, there's poor people out there that are entitled to it that you've oppressed. So that's what he means. It's not, don't try to put them in a scale and say, oh well, this is more important than that. He's just saying that your concern should not be light about that. It should actually, in a sense, be greater than the other, which is not diminishing your concern about the other in any way. لتسلط النفس على القيام بالأول وتكاسره عن الأخير. And the reason for this is that the nafs by its nature finds it easy to do the first, but is more lazy about the second. It actually finds it easier to do its prayers, make up the prayers and things like that, but making up zakat and things like that, it will tend to be lazier about that. وَلِذَٰلِكَ كَانَ أَكْثَرْ وَرَعَ السَّلَفِ فِي الْمَالِ. And for that reason, the salaf were more scrupulous in matters concerning wealth. And then he said, أكثر من الماء والله أعلم. Perhaps he meant more than the wudu. Allahu A'lam. But the point is that they were more scrupulous about their matters of wealth. And that's well known. The Sahaba were more concerned about where they got their money than they were about, say, for instance, night prayers and things like that. Because if your money's haram, the food you eat's haram. If the food you eat's haram, you're not going to be able to do anything with any continuity of your ibadah. It'd be very difficult. So then he says, الرابع, the fourth one, لا يجوز عتق من أحاط الدين بماله. الدين بماله. It's not permissible to free a slave if you owe debt, if you have debt. So you can't do things with your wealth when you have obligations binding on them. ولا يقبل الله نافلة ممن عليه فريضة. Allah doesn't accept nafila, extra acts, if there's obligatory acts that are binding on you. So in a sense, you're wasting your time doing extra acts if you owe fara'id. فَأَهْمُ الْأُمُورَ الْقِيَامُ بِالْحُقُوقِ الْوَاجِبَةِ ثُمَّ النَّوَافِلِ. For that reason, the most important of your affairs is fulfilling those rights that are an obligation on you before you do any extra acts. وَقَدْ قِيلَ مَنْ كَانَتَ النَّوَافِلُ أَهَمَّ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْفَرَائِضِ فَهُوَ مَخْدُوعٌ. And for that reason, it's been said that anyone who deems a supererogatory acts more important than his obligatory acts is deceived. He's deluded, been tricked by shaytan, for instance, or his nafs, hawa. وَقِيلَ هَلَاكُ الْخَلْقِ فِي حَرْفَيْنِ. And it's been said that the destruction of creation or human beings is in two things. اشْتِغَارٌ بِنَافِلَةٍ وَإِهْمَالُ فَرِيضَةٍ وَعَمَلَ الْجَوَارِحِ بِلَا مُوَاطَأَةِ الْقَلْبِ. So he said it's by being preoccupied with extra acts to the neglect of your obligatory acts. Like somebody is doing night prayers and then they don't get up for Fajr. Their night prayers are a waste of time. Fajr is better you sleep the whole night and pray Fajr on time than that you stay up the whole night in Nafida and then right before Fajr fall asleep until the sun goes up. And then he's saying, and also the actions of the jawarih, the limbs, bila muwata'at al-qalb. The heart is not in sync with the limbs. So there's no intention behind your actions. You're just doing the outward form, but the heart's not there. So there's people that pray, it's just the outward form. The heart's not present, it's not hadir. So he's saying those two things destroy people. وفي الحكم من علامة اتباع الهوى المسارعة إلى نوافل الخيرات والتكاسل عن القيام بحقوق الواجبات. And he said in the Hikam of Ibn Atayla رضي الله تعالى عنه, from the signs of following the caprice, the hawa, is to hasten to extra acts of good and to be lazy about implementing the obligatory rights that are upon you. So that's a sign of اتباع الهوى, that there's مسارعة للخيرات النوافل. And then there's تكاسر عن الفرائض. انتهى. وهو دار عضال فلا يكون منك له إغفال. That's all he has to say about that. And then he says, this is da'un عضال. It's a disease that is impossible to remove. I mean, it's a very serious disease, he's saying. So don't be neglectful about this. Don't be heedless about this fact, because it's fooled a lot of people. And there's a lot of Muslims, for instance, in Ramadan, they do Qiyam al-Layl. This is a really good example. There's a lot of Muslims. In Ramadan, they do Qiyam al-Layl, the Taraweeh prayers. And they didn't pray all year long. So they have fawa'id, they have prayers that they should have been praying. Some of them don't even pray the five prayers. But they'll go and do Taraweeh because it's a social event. It's a waste of time. الخامس حصر العدد في القضاء معين عليه. The other is also that you know, the fifth one is that you know the number in terms of qada, when you're redressing some haqq, some right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His creation, you're redressing it, it's an obligatory to know the number. And one of the wisdoms of that, لِتَشَوُّفَ النَّفْسَ لِمَا يُنْتَهَى إِلَيْهِ. It's because the nature of the self desires, it has a natural inclination to things that come to an end. In other words, if you're working and there's no end in sight, you get overwhelmed. Whereas if you really can see a job has an end in sight, it gives you more himmah. There's more energy to do that thing. You have to know what you owe. It's important to know what you owe so you don't just, I'll never get this done. Because the nafs will get futur, it'll get weak. And وَجَعْلَهُ مَوْقُوفًا عَلَى وَجْهٍ وَاحِدٍ يَقْضِي بِسَآمَتِهَا فِيهِ. And then he said that by making what you do, by doing it in only one way, it will lead to boredom. Ennui will result from that. So he says, فَلْيَكُنِ الْقِيَامُ فَلْيَكُنِ الْقِيَامُ بِعَدْدٍ أَدْنَى ثُمَّ وَسَطٍ ثُمَّ أَعْلَى لِتَجُولَ فِي مَا تَقْتَدِيهِ وَتَجِدَ الرَّاحَةَ بِالتَطْوِيرِ وَزِيَادَتِي وَالْقُوَّةِ عَلَى التَّحْسِينِ وَالْإِجَادَتِي. So he says here, what you do is you should vary. When you're trying to fulfill something, you vary it. For instance, you do the least amount initially, and then you increase it a little bit to a middle, a moderate, and then you increase it to its highest number. And this is in order for the nafs to benefit from it. تَجُورَ فِي مَا تَقْتَدِيهِ وَتَجِدَ الرَّاحَةِ. And it gets some repose from this by these changes and by these increases. And also it gains a strength in being able to perfect and to embellish what it's doing. In other words, the devotional practices. The sixth one is السادسُ ضَعْفُ الْبَاعِثِ يَدْعُو لِتَكَاسَلَ النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْإِنْبِعَاثِ. If you have a weak incentive, the ba'ath is the incentive. مَا يَبْعَثُكَ. It's what inspires you to do something. So for instance, most people work because they get a paycheck. So the paycheck is their ba'ath. It's really what's making them do something. If you want the ghufran of Allah, that's a powerful ba'ath, to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that the weakness of the incentive, it will end up engendering in you a laziness in rising up to do what you need to do. وَتَقَاصُرِهَا عَنِ الدَّوَامِ وَالثَّبَاتِ. And also it will result in your relinquishing or diminishing the continuation of that and your steadfastness in it. فَإِذَا وَجِدْتَ ذَلِكَ وَلَا مُعِينَ. If you find that and you don't find any help in changing that, فَذَكِّرْهَا وَعِظْهَا. Remind the self. وَذِكِّرْ فِي النَّذِكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind the self and give wa'ad to the self. And you actually exhort yourself. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, كَنْ يُوَبِّخُ نَفْسُهُ. Sayyidina Umar, كَنْ يُوَبِّخُ نَفْسُهُ. The Sahaba, it came down that they used to exhort themselves. Sayyidina Abu Bakr used to actually give wa'ad to his tongue. One of the things that I found my teacher, Marab al-Hajj, that he would give wa'ad to himself at night with prayers and also with poetry. Ya nafsu qumi fara'wi wanzajiri wa faja'at al-himami minha fahdari wa laddat al-dunya jimi'an fahjuri la siyam al-huju' waqt al-sahari. And he would actually say these things to himself like wa'ad. Oh nafs, wake up, have some fear. Be fearful of sudden death. All the pleasures of dunya, don't preoccupy yourself with them, especially the pleasure of sleep before dawn. That's something he never does. He never sleeps before dawn. And that's been his habit for about 80 years. I mean, never. He won't let the waqt as-sahar la yumkin. So that's what he's saying. You have to give wa'ad to your nafs. ثُمَّ نِهْضَةَ الْغَضْبَانِ تَجِدَ النَّشَاطَ أَبَدًا. And then really rise up the way somebody angry gets up. When you get angry, what happens? If you get angry, you get up. I'm going to do something about this right now. He's saying get angry at yourself. Remind yourself, don't waste your life away. Life's too important. You don't have much time left. You don't know how long you have left. Do something with your life. Do something useful. Remind yourself and then get up. The way نهبت الغضبان تجد النشاط أبداً. He said if you do that, you'll find that energy. You'll find that zealousness to do what you need to do. وإن دار الأمر بين ترك القضاء والنفر. And if the matter is between giving up the qada, what you need to fulfill, or some extra act, فَالنَّفْلٌ matruk, always leave the extra act. So, for instance, if you have prayers to do, and people are praying taraweeh, but you have prayers to make up your qada. Don't pray the taraweeh. Make up the prayers you owe that are fard. But then he says, فَإِنْ دَعَتْ لِفِعْلَنَ الثَّانِي لِفِعْلَ الثَّانِي. But if the nafs calls to doing the nafida, أَوْ تَرْكَ الْجَمِيعِ, or it's going to leave everything, because maybe it's tired or something like that. فَبَعْضُ الشَّرِّ أَهْوَنُ مِنْ بَعْضُ وَبِذَلِكَ كَانَ يُفْتِي شَيْخُنَا الْقَوَرِي. So he said, if your nafs is kind of, well, I want to do the nafida. So you might have nishaat for the taraweeh, and you don't want to do the qada. And if it means you're not going to do the qada, he's saying that his sheikh al-Qawari used to give fatwa that some evil is less than other evil. In other words, it's better you do nafida that you don't do anything at all. So he's saying, do that. And he said, that's what my sheikh al-Qarawi used to give fatwa. That was his fatwa. Rahimahullah. Wallahu a'lam. And then he says, wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. And then he says that قَدْ تَعْجَبَ النَّفْسُ مِنْ اتِّسَعَ الْحُقُوقِ أَوْ تَدْهَشُ. The nafs can sometimes be overwhelmed, bewildered by how many حقوق من اتساع الحقوق. There's something that's famous من الوصايا العشرة لحسن البنا. He used to say الحقوق والواجبات أكثر من الأوقات. The rights and the obligations are greater than the actual time we've been allotted in life. And that's a qa'ida. الحقوق والواجبات أكثر من الأوقات. So you really have to take that. He said the nafs could become overwhelmed by all these حقوق. مع استشعار ضعفها فترم الكسر عن القيام بواجب الوقت والرجوع عن سببه. So because it feels the weakness that the self has, it gets overwhelmed. Again, this is serious psychology. You see, the nafs will get overwhelmed by all it has to do. And so instead it will seek out laziness instead of doing things. You get overwhelmed. This is one of the things, it's well known people in management skills, you look at anything involved in that, one of the things they do is you have to delegate. And this is a well known principle in management. Delegate. Because if you don't delegate, you get overwhelmed. If you get overwhelmed, you actually become depressed. You become lazy. You procrastinate because you're overwhelmed by it. And that's what he's saying. Don't let these things overwhelm you, because what it's going to do is it's going to result in yourself actually not doing anything. And then he says, so that it will lead it to تَرُومَ الْكَسَرَ عَنَ الْقِيَامِ وَاجِبِ الْوَقْتِ وَالرُّجُوعِ عَنْ سَبَبِهِ وَهُوَ التَّوْبَةِ. The whole reason that you've done this in the first place is your tawbah. So you end up falling back where you began. Because the whole point of the tawbah was to start over. You're going to go back to square one. So he's saying, don't get overwhelmed at that. Now, here's what he says. وَعِلَاجُهَا فِي ذَلِكَ بِالْأَخْذِ بِالْخِلَافِ الْمُؤَدِّي لَتَرَفَّقِ مِنْ غَيْرِ حُقِ إِثْمٍ. The cure for this, if there's something that is going to lead to tarafuq, a gentleness, being easy on the self, without مِنْ غَيْرِ لِحُقِ إِثْمٍ, without resulting in a sin. So it's taking an easy route, but not involving some wrong action. وَلَا لِتَغْيِيرٍ لِحُكْمٍ. And also you're not changing the hukm, the ruling, the legal ruling. وَأَكْثَرُ مَا يَقْعُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ قِبْلِ الْكَفَّارَاتِ. And this occurs in more than anything with expiation. With expiation. So for instance, the Prophet ﷺ once came and said, هَلَكْتُ هَلَكْتُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, what happened? He said that he had relations with his wife in Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ told him to fast 2 months, consecutive months. He said that he couldn't do that. He couldn't even fast Ramadan. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, then free a slave. He couldn't do that. He was poor. He said, then feed 60 people. This is kafara. So he's making it easier on the man. This is what he's talking about. If you have a dispensation to make something easier, then take that dispensation. If you can't do the first one, you're going to get overwhelmed. And then the man said, what do I give sadaqah with? He said, just something feed, mud, take some. He said, I don't have anything. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him as a gift, he gave him tamar. He said, go feed the people. He said, who do I feed? He said, feed the poor people. He said, nobody's poorer than my tribe. He said, go feed your tribe. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, if you have to make it easy on yourself, without doing something wrong, without changing the hukam, and this occurs more often in expiation, وَذَٰلِكَ مِنَ الْجَهْلِ بِمَا تَجِبُ فِيهِ أَوْ تَشَدُّدِي فِي حُكْمِهِ. And either it comes out of ignorance of what you're obliged to do, or going to some extreme in the ruling. فَلَا تُضَيِّقْ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ مَخَافَةِ اتِّسَاعِهَا. So don't be too constricting on yourself out of fear that the self takes advantage of it. Don't do that. وَلَا تُوَسَّعْ عَلَيْهَا مَخَافَةَ تَمَكُّنِهَا. But also don't make it too easy out of fear that the soul will take command of you. So what he's saying is there's a balance. And that's why he says, وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. The success in doing this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, مِرَاثُ الْعَمَلِ بِمَا ذُكِرَ ثَلَاثَةُ أُمُورٍ لِمَنْ يَعْتَبَرْ. The benefits of acting according to the aforementioned are three things for the one who really reflects. أَوَّلُهَا تَسْهِيرُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. This will make your uprightness easier in the future. So if you do this, you're not going to repeat the mistakes of the past. It's going to get easier for you. الثاني إفراد القلب عن الشغل بخلاف الحق. The second is that the heart itself is freed and emptied of being preoccupied with other than the truth. الثالث الوقوف في محل الصدق. And the third is that one is firmly stationed in the place of sincerity. وَهُوَ مَحْلُ تَنْوِيرِ الْقَلْبِ وَالْقَالِبِ. And this is the place where the heart and the body become illuminated. وَعُلُوَ الْهِمَّةِ وَدَفْعُ الشُّرُورِ وَتَيْسِيرُ الْأُمُورِ. وَهُوَ مَحْلُ تَنْوِيرِ الْقَلْبِ وَالْقَالِبِ وَعُلُوَ الْهِمَّةِ وَدَفْعُ الشُّرُورِ وَتَيْسِيرُ الْأُمُورِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. So this is the place where the heart is illuminated, the body is illuminated, the himma becomes exalted, high, your aspiration becomes high, your evil is prevented, and facilitation of affairs occurs. Wallahu a'lam. So that's what will happen if you do it. Mirathu ihmarihi, the results of neglecting this is qusur al-qalbi an kamarihi, the shortcomings of the heart in reaching perfection. وَرُجُوعُ الْبَدْنِ لِحَالِهِ, and that your body returns to the original condition, the neglect, the laziness, the overeating. وَفُقْدَانَ الصِّدْقِ وَالْحَلَاوَةِ فِي أَعْمَالِهِ, and you lose sincerity and the sweetness, the taste of the sweetness of actions that are obedience to Allah. وَمَفَاتِحُ الْإِخْلَالِ بِهِ ثَلَاثَةٌ عَنْ كُلِّ مُنْتَبِهِ, and the keys to losing these, to falling short in these, are three. For everyone who is awakened to this truth. أولها الميل إلى الرخص المتعلقة بأحكامه. The inclination to dispensations that are connected to these legal rulings. So you'll incline to finding the easiest way. If you neglect this, you'll always be looking for dispensations. And he's meaning going to ta'wilat, doing things. He's not talking about, because before he was talking about dispensations in the qadha. That's another thing. When you owe something, if it's going to facilitate it, then use the dispensation. But in normal types of situations, the azima is better than the dispensation. So he's saying that you're going to seek out dispensation in those. الثاني التشديد في إقامته على أتم نظامه. That it's going to be very difficult for him to be steadfast in the best way. In other words, in what he's trying to prioritize, organize in his life, he's not going to be able to do that. الثالثُ الإكثارُ والاستعجال. The third is doing too much and doing it too hastily. وَبِهِ أَسَاسُ الْكَسْرُ وَالْإِبْطَالُ. And that leads to laziness and to nullifying your acts altogether. وَمُوَادَ الْقِيَامِ عَلَيْهِ وَالْأَخْذُ بِمَا يُقِيمُهُ وَيَوَدِّ إِلَيْهِ. The way to do it is by taking those things that help you and keep you to getting to that place, which is like the second one, tashdeed. وَالْعَزْمُ وَالْاِقْتِصَادُ وَالْحَزْمُ. Having resolution, being moderate, and also having steadfastness, firmness. بِأَلَّا يَدْخُلَ عَلَيْهِ تَأْوِيلٌ وَلَا يُعَرَضُهُ بِالتَّهْوِيلِ. That you don't allow loose interpretations to come in, so that you find excuses constantly. Nor do you allow the other thing to occur, which is that you get so overwhelmed you go into this state of petrification, you're petrified. It's like a freeze, fight, flight, or freeze. The deer in the headlights. You can't move. وَالْاِسْتِعَانَةُ بِاللَّهِ وَاللُّجُوءُ إِلَيْهِ هِيَ الْأَسَاسُ الْأَعْظَمُ. And seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the succor of Allah, taking refuge in Him, this is the greatest foundation. وَالْبُنْيَانَ الْمُحْكَمُ. And this is the absolutely firm edifice. In other words, the edifice that's not going to fall apart. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And Allah knows best. Fasrun fil ma'lam al-thalith. The third milestone. Fi madalim al-ibad wa ma fi raddiha min wujuh al-sadad. The third one is the milestones in returning those things that you have wronged to the slaves of Allah. So we have huquq Allah wa huquq al-ibad. This relates to the rights of others and how to get them back in the best way. So you have to return them. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oppression is multiplied darknesses on the Day of Judgment. So when you oppress somebody, it becomes multiplied darknesses for you on the Day of Judgment. وَقَالَ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُهُ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ كَانَ لِأَخِيهِ قِبْلَهُ مَظْلَمَةٌ فَلْيَتَحَلَّلْهُ قَبْلَ أَلَّا دِنَارَ وَلَا دِرْهَمْ. Whoever has, in regards to a brother of his, has some wrong, he owes him money, he took money from him, something like that, let him rectify that before he has no dinars and dirhams. In other words, when you have the ability to rectify the wrongs that relate to wealth, do it while you have wealth, before you lose the wealth. Al-Hadith. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ الذُّنُوبُ ثَلَاثَةٌ. ذنب لا يغفره الله وهو الشرك وذنب لا يتركه الله وهو مظالم العباد وذنب لا يعبأ الله به وهو سائر السيئات. One of the Salihin said, there are three types of wrongs. A wrong that Allah will never forgive, and that is associating with Allah, shirk. A wrong that Allah will never leave, and that is the oppressions done to other people. And then a wrong that Allah has no concern with, and that is the rest of wrong actions. And that doesn't mean, don't think they're easy. It just means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you make a sincere tawbah, it's very easy to make a sincere tawbah. Rahmukumullah, it's easy to make a sincere tawbah from wrongs that are between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But wrongs that concern the creatures of Allah, it's much more difficult. Because Allah will not leave those until you rectify what's between you and His creation. And then he said, يعني أنه يغفرها لمن استغفر ولمن شاء ولمن دون ذلك فليفهم فليفهم. He says what that means is Allah will forgive them to the whoever asks for forgiveness, or anyone else, whoever he wants, in the Mashi'ah, because he can forgive things in the Mashi'ah whether you ask forgiveness or not. ولمن دون ذلك, and even anyone less than that. So understand that. والناس ثلاثة بنسبة إلى ظلمك يتعين عليك رد مظلمة كل واحد على حسب علمك. People are three in relation to your wrongs toward them, and it's incumbent upon you to return the wrongs to everyone according to or based upon your knowledge of that. So it's an obligation to return wrongs to everyone. رجل ظلمته في نفسه بقتل أو جراح. Somebody who you have oppressed in his self by killing him or wounds. Now, as you know, there's qisas in these things. وحقق التعريض بالقصاص وترك الجناح فإن عزت النفس ولم تهن وإن عدم ولي الأمر ولم يكون فخزائن الكرم مملوة مملوءة واللجوء إلى الله في إرضائه من وجوه القوة لا سيما مع التسبب في الوداد تعريض النفس للمترفات في الله كالجهاد. What he's saying here is if you've oppressed somebody by killing them or harming them, what you have to do is fulfill the qisas, which means your life or the blood money, if they'll accept that. So if the soul is too precious, and by its nature it's not a cheap thing, or there's no waliyuddam, waliyul-amr here means waliyuddam, there's no person who has the blood money in his hand, walam yakun, you can't find that person, فَخَزَائِنُ الْكَرَمْ مَمْلُؤَ, the storehouses of Allah's generosity are great, and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by attempting to do your best to please Him in all of the aspects of one's capability, especially مَعَ التَّسَبَّبْ فِي الْوَدَادِ, by trying to gain those things that bring the love, وَتَعْرِيدُ النَّفْسِ لِلْمُتْلِفَاتِ فِي اللَّهِ, and also by exposing the soul to those things that will destroy it for the sake of Allah, such as jihad. So what he's saying is, if you've killed another person, it's a big thing, it's not an easy thing. And if there's no way in this world to do something about that, then he's saying Allah's generosity is great. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your best. Do as much as you can to please Him. The second one, الثاني, رَجُلٌ ظَرَمْتُهُ فِي مَالِهِ بِأَخْذِهِ غَصْبًا أَوْ سَرِقَةً أَوْ خِيَانَةً فِي اسْتِعْمَالِهِ. There's about 9 different ways that you can take people's money by oppressive means. He mentions a few here. One is غَصْب. الغاصب is somebody who usurps somebody's wealth. And this is somebody who goes and he just grabs the purse, or he sees your watch, he grabs your hand, he pulls the watch off. He doesn't have a weapon. That's a ghasib. They've taken it by qahr, بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ وَلَا مُلْكٍ. That's called ghasib. And a ghasib is obviously a dhamin. He has to give back what he took in order to fulfill the haqq. But he's not, his hand's not cut off. He's not like a thief. A thief is worse than a ghasib. And worse than a thief is the muharib, somebody بِالْحَرَابَ. He takes somebody with a weapon. Thief gets his hand cut off, that person's drawn and quartered. So the least of those is the ghasib, and then the sariq, and then the qati' al-tariq, like that. Or khiyana. Sariqa is that you steal something, min hirs. In sharia, in order for it to be stealing, it has to be left in a place that's recognized to be private. Like somebody's room, even if it was unlocked, if you went into somebody's room and stole, that's sariqa. Whereas if the person left it out on the street, it's not considered sariqa. I mean, you're not supposed to take it unless you want to take it to authority or something if people steal. Generally, you're supposed to leave things where you find it. And then khiyana, there's a lot of different ways. Like if somebody has a wadi'a, they leave something with you, and then you takhunuhum fiha. Somebody leaves money with you and you just use it for something else, and they didn't give you permission to do that. Or they leave their luggage with you and you don't take care of it. Somebody steals it. You know, you took it from them, and then on the way to the marketplace you just put it down and went and shopped and came back, it was gone. I mean, that's khiyana, because when you entrust somebody, they're supposed to be trustworthy. That's another way of oppressing. So the first one is you kill him or you harm him physically. The second is you've oppressed him in his wealth. وَحَقُّكَ رَدُّ مِثْلِ الَّذِي أَخَدْتَ. What you owe is to return the likes of what you took. إِنْ وَجَدْتَ. If you're able. وَإِنْدَافَ فَتَحَلُّلُ. If you can't do that, you have to go and ask them, please forgive me. You know, I took this from you and I want you to forgive. In amkana, wurju' ila Allah, and also returning to Allah, making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In faqadta, if you can't find what it takes to make tawbah, if you don't have what it takes to return to the person, make tawbah to Allah, and then, in faqadta, bi'a'mali asbabi irda'ihi min khidmatihi wa ihtiramihi wa i'ta'ihi. And then that person, you should attempt to make them pleased by serving them, showing them respect, giving them something in return. فَإِنْ فَاتَ أَوْلَمْ يَتَعِيَّنْ. If you weren't able to do that, say they died. Or لَمْ يَتَعِيَّنْ. It wasn't an obligation for you to do that, like serve them or something like that. فَالتَّصَدُّقُ بِمِقْدَارِهِ قَدْ تَعِيَّنْ. Then you should give him sadaqah, what you took from that person, in that person's name.
If you don't know the name, then you do it just the person I stole from. I'm giving it for that person. وَالْاحْتِيَاطُ فِي التَّقْدِيرِ هَا هُنَا أَهَمْ. And being cautious about the amount at this point is very important. وَالْأَخْذُ بِالْاحْتِيَاطِ أَحْسَنُ وَأَتَمْ. And to take the more cautious position is better and more complete. الثالثُ, the third one, رَجُلٌ ظَلَمْتُهُ فِي عَرْضِهِ بِيَلْحَاقِ مَا يَقْتَضِي وُجُودَ نَقْصِهِ وَغَمْطِهِ فَلَا يَخْلُوَ الْوَاقِعُ وَصَادِرُ مِنْ ثَلَاثَةِ أَوْجُهًا وَمَصَادِرُ. So he says the third is a man who you've oppressed in his honor by causing something that leads to detraction from him, his good name, or contempt, غَمْطِهِ. You show contempt to him. فَلَا يَخْلُوَ الْوَاقِعُ وَصَادِرُ مِنْ ثَلَاثَةِ أَوْجُهٍ. So the thing that you did that has emanated from you will be one of three things. أَحَدُهَا أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يُلْحِقُ ضَرَرَ كَالسِّعَايَةِ وَالنَّمِيمَةِ. One of them is something that causes harm to come to him, like سِعَايَة. سِعَايَة is what they now call in modern Arabic مُخَابَرَات, the intelligence. These are people that spy on other people and then they go tell on them. And he also said, Sidi Ahmed Zarruq was an amazing human being. But he also did a study. He said he met a man who worked in a prison who had done this study. That every person that ever got arrested, if he said if he got arrested in the daytime, he asked him if he prayed Fajr in Jama'ah. He said in 40 years as a jailer, he never met one person arrested who had prayed Fajr in Jama'ah. And he said, and if they were arrested in the evening, he asked them if they prayed Isha in Jama'ah. And he said in 40 years, he never met one person who was arrested that had prayed Isha in Jama'ah. So Si'aya is like Mukhabarat. Namima, لا يدخل الجنة القتات. And Namam is somebody who dissembles. He'll come to you and he'll say, do you know what so-and-so said about you? And all he wants to do is make you hate that person. The Prophet ﷺ said, this type of person does not enter paradise. And the ulama say it means, لا يدخل مع السابقين. He won't enter amongst the first people that enter paradise. Because it's kabira. ظَلَمْتُهُ is a ظُلْم فِي عَرْضِهِ. So, now, what he's talking about here is the third type. This is عِرْض, a person's good name. It's one of the كُلِّيَاتِ الْخَمْسِ, right? نَفْس, الدِّين, نَفْس, مَال, عَقَل, وَالْعِرْض. It's one of the things the Sharia came to preserve, one of these five things. One of them is عِرْض, your good name, or نَسَب, if you want to take six, the sixth one. The عِرْض and نَسَب are similar. So what he's saying here now is what happens here. وَالشَّهَادَةِ عَلَيْهِ بِصِفَةٍ ذَمِيمًا, or testifying against him in some foul way. فَيَتَعَيْنُ عَلَيْكَ تَكْلِيبُ نَفْسِكَ عِنْدَ مَنْ قُدْسَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ. So it becomes an obligation to you to go and tell the person who you said that, even if it was true. If you said it with the intention of separating between them and there was no good, you have to go and say, I lied to you. It's not true what I told you about that person. He didn't say that about you. It's a lie. وَالرُّجُوعَ عَنَ الشَّهَادَةَ. And also, if you testified, you have to go and say, I bore false testimony. إِنْ كَانَتْ زُورَ. If it was indeed, شَهَادَةَ الزُّور is a kabira. Or الْيَمِينَ الْغَمُوسِ. I mean, these are kabair. To swear an oath, and it's a lie. Or you don't know what really happened. To testify against somebody. إِذْ لَيْسَ لُحُوقَ الْوَصْمِ بِهِ بِأَوْلَ مِنْكَ. Because this shameful thing, this blameworthy quality, even if it was true about him, it's worse about you for doing it. وَلَا وَجْهَ لِلسَّمَاحِ فِي مَا صَدْرَ فِي ذَلِكَ عَنْكَ. And there's no room for forgiveness in what has come from you, what's emanated from you in doing this. There's no place to say, you know, I forgive you. Because these are really serious things. These affect societies. هذا مع استحلاله مما فعلت. And this is also after you've asked for forgiveness. from that person for وإظهارك الرجوع عما قلت ونقلت. And also that you have brought forth this display that you in fact no longer believe or agree with what you said or transmitted to anybody else. الثاني أن يكون ذلك مما يلحق معرة كالزنا ولو مرة وهذه بلية. The third one has to do that أن يكون ذلك مما يلحق معرة كالزنا بوليته. So this is in a person that you have fornicated with their wife. Right? I mean, this is a really bad. ولو مرة, even if it was one time. وهذه بلية. This is a great tribulation. الله أولى بالعذر فيها. And really, you should be making excuses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وواجبك تصحيح العزم في التنصل منها. And your obligation is to rectify your absolute determination to free yourself completely from this act. لِأَنَّ إِعْلَامُهُ قَدْفٌ بِالْمَزْنِيِّ بِهَا. If you tell people, then this is قَدْف in the one that you fornicated with, which is haram. Because there has to be four witnesses, all these. So you can't tell anybody. وَفَضِيحَةٌ لِنَفْسِكَ فِي ذَنْبِهَا. And also it's a fadiha. I mean, this is something that's total dishonoring to the soul for this wrong action. وَتَعْرِيضٌ لَهُ لِلْإِذَايَةِ إِنْ سَكَتْ. And this is also exposing yourself to serious harm from this person if he was silent. You tell him, he might not do anything, but he's planning to get revenge. There's people that will do that. They might not do something initially. أو إهلاكه إن أغار وما ثبت. Or he destroys you, he kills you. If he becomes so jealous and enraged that he's not able to hold himself back. وكل ذلك حرام. All of that is haram. ومخل بوجود النظام. And it will destroy society. It will break down society. مع وجود الخلاف في الزنا. Because there's a khilaf about zina. Is zina حق الله or حق العباد? Does it relate to the rights of Allah or the rights of creation? Because obviously there's more people than one involved. So there's a khilaf amongst the ulama. That's why it's a real problem. Because you can't go and get istihlal. You can't go to the husband and say, please forgive me, I fornicated with your wife. So you've oppressed a man by seducing his wife. It's a big problem. I mean, this is, what are you saying? This is a serious problem. So that's وَالثَّارِثُهَا الْفَرْجَ الْمَمْلُوكُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ. One way of dealing with this last one is a servant, which, I mean, we don't have these anymore, bondsman or bondswoman. مِنَ الْعِبَادِ فَيُعَجِّرُ زَانِيهِ بِمَا عَسَى أَنْ يَكُونَ كَفَارَةً لَهُ. Even though there's no kafara for this, he's saying that some of the ulama have said, what you do is you free a slave. Because there's a hadith, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ أَعْتَقَ نَسَمَةً أَعْتَقَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ عُضْوًا مِنْهَا عُضْوًا مِنْهُ حَتَّى الْفَرْجِ بِالْفَرْجِ. The hadith. The hadith says, whoever frees a soul, Allah will free for him every member of his body from the fire. عُضْوًا مِنْهُ. Right? بِكُلِّ عُضْوًا مِنْهَا. From that woman that you freed, عُضْوًا مِنْهُ. You get something freed from you. حتى الفرج بالفرج. Even their private part for your private part. So what he's saying is some of the ulama have said that's one way of dealing with this problem. That's how serious it is. Because zina is a major problem on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's one of the mubiqat. So that was the second one. And that was a way of dealing with that. And then the third here is أن يكون ذلك بوجود الغيبة. وذكر ما فيه تنقيص أو ريبة فتحلل فيه واجب وإن لم تلحق به منه ضرورة وإلا فإبداله بالثناء والاستغفار والخدمة فعلة مشكورة فقد قيل إن التحلل منه غير جائز كالتحليل وقيل مباح إذ تعلق بأمر وقيل إن ذكرها بنقلها للبهتان مع اشتراط التعيين والبيان فصحح عقدك وجدد عهدك فأكثر من الاستغفار وتحفظ جهدك ثم الله أولى بالعذر في ذلك والكافي لما هنالك والسلام. So he says, in the third one, if there's ghiba involved, or you've mentioned something about him that involves detracting from him, or doubtful matters, there has to be tahallul. You have to free yourself from it through him. It's an obligation. إِن لَمْ تَلْحَقْ بِهِ مِنْهُ ضَرُورَةً. As long as there's not something that's going to come from him that necessitates otherwise. وَإِلَّا فَإِبْدَالُهُ بِالثَّنَاءِ وَالِاسْتِغْفَارِ وَالْخِدْمَةِ. If there is, so if this person is somebody you know is going to get really angry, then what he's saying is, instead of going to them and saying, I spoke ill of you, أَخْتَبْتُكَ, something like that, what you do is you have to praise him, you make thana, so you start telling people, if you used to backbite about him, you say, so-and-so is a very good person, he did this for me, something like that. And also, الاستغفار والخدمة. So asking forgiveness for him, and also obviously for yourself, and then khidma, doing something of service to him, of benefit to him. All those are actions that are rewarded. وَقَدْ قِيلَ إِنَ التَّحْلُلُ مِنْهُ غَيْرُ جَائِزٍ كَالتَّحْرِيرُ. And some of them have said, which is weak, have said that to try to ask forgiveness from this person is not permissible because of the problems that will occur now. I mean, that's an opinion. وَقِيلَ مُبَاحٌ إِذَا تَعْلَقَ بِأَمْرٍ مُقِيمٍ. And some said that it's permissible to do it, in other words, not an obligation, if it involves something that warrants that. إِنْ ذَكَرَهَا بِنَقْرِهَا لِلْبُهْتَانِ. If he mentioned it by transmitting it for buhtan, مَعْ اشْتَرَاطِ التَّعْيِينِ وَالْبَيَانِ. So if you mentioned it for buhtan, there's two things. You can look at ghiba as saying something behind the back, and buhtan is saying it to their face. Buhtan also can mean that it's a lie. So al-bahat has two meanings, but generally it means it's a lie. That you say it to a person's face, so they get shocked, you know, how you could say that to their face. Another one is that you say it behind their back, but it's a lie. It's buhtan. And that is مَعْ اشْتِرَاطِ التَّعْيِينِ وَالْبَيَانِ. But that is conditioned or contingent upon you expressly mentioning that person's name. If you don't mention their name and it's ambiguous, it's not clear, if everybody's going to know who it was, like you say, you know, the president of Libya. I mean, everybody knows who the president of Libya is. All right, so that's عَلَى الْقَوْلَ أَنَّ فِي غِيبَةٍ فِي الْفَاسِقِ. I mean, there's khilaf about that. But if you say everybody's going to know it, then that's ghiba. If you say, for instance, I saw a man, I was in Mecca, and such happened, nobody's going to know who that person is. And you're using it to teach somebody something, then it's not considered ghiba. If there's no benefit in it, it's still not ghiba, but there's no benefit in it. So it's kalam. Hadayan. And then he said, فَصَحِّحَ عَقْدَكَ. Renew your contract here. وَجَدِّدْ عَهْدَكَ. Make sound this aqad that you have, this resolution. Renew your contract. وَأَكْثَرْ مِنَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. Start over again. Do more istighfar. وَتَحَفَظْ جَهْدَكَ. And also guard yourself to the best of your ability. ثُمَّ اللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِالْعُذْرِ فِي ذَلِكَ. You should be making excuses to Allah. He's more worthy than any of His creation to make excuses to. وَالْكَافِرِ مَا هُنَالِكَ. And He's the one that really can fix everything. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أهله. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أهله. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله.